Fetheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is episode 18, Spotlight on Rogue, or Rogue Spotlight, if you don't have enough room in your lower thirds. I'm your host, Cigar Surgeon John, here as always with my co-host, Robbie Rass. Rob, what's going on, brother?
Surgeon, what's up, man? Just, I'm excited. I get excited for our beer shows. I'm actually going to pick up a beer fridge tomorrow. This show has actually turned me into kind of a beer freak, and I don't know anything about beer in the sense that, you know, what it takes to make it or what the ingredients are or whatever, but I just, every time I go to buy some beer, I went to buy some Rogue beers just the other day, and I knew I was going to get Dead Guy, and that's one of the ones I'm going to be featuring on because it's one of my favorite beers. And I'm looking through, and I came home with two wine case boxes full of beer.
Wow.
And it's all individuals. It's all, you know, the larger bottles, 22-ounce bottles, or it's 1 pint, 6 fluid ounces. I think that's 22 ounces. Not good with that math. But I just come home with so much stuff. So I'm excited to talk about some Rogue stuff. There is a ton of it out there. I know we're overlapping on one of our choices. It's kind of a seasonal thing, but there's a lot of Rogue beers out there. Rogue is out of, I think they're out of Portland, Oregon, but we'll get more into that.
You got a Pontiac.
Yeah, we'll get more into that as we go. But no, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you think I'm enabling you with the beer stuff? Just wait till we start getting deep into the whiskey stuff, man. It might get expensive over at the Rasmussen house there.
The thing is with beer is I can go out and I can buy one of these bottles. That, I mean, you're talking about, it's a larger bottle. This is, you know, two or three glasses, and it's a nice little session for one guy. But I mean, it's $5 or $6, and you know, I come home with 10 or 15 of them. It's okay because I'm not going to drink them all in one day. It's going to last me a long time, and I don't actually give the receipts to my wife. She doesn't know how much I spent, so it's all fine and good. But when you start getting into to whiskeys and bourbons and rum and stuff like that, those bottles get a little more expensive. So,
well, and we're a little off topic, but I think one of the nice things about, and we'll talk about this next week in our bourbon show, but one of the things I see a lot of the whiskey and bourbon manufacturers doing is coming out with the little mini bottles. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really powerful because you can get a taster of, you know, three different types or three different expressions from a bourbon manufacturer or whiskey distillery. And it makes it very affordable and very approachable, so you don't have to go out and spend, you know, you don't have to be like, don't be like me. Don't go spend thousands of dollars on whiskey and fill your house with whiskey. It's not good.
In a way, it's almost akin to, and I'll bring this back to cigars a little bit. In the cigar industry, you're seeing a lot more companies come out with 10-count boxes and making things available in 5-packs, like Crux, for example, pre-wrapped 5-packs. And that makes it easier for people to sample things as opposed to, you know, I'm going to buy a 25-count box or whatever. The 10-count Mazos that are wrapped in either cellophane or, you know, almost like a wrapping paper, like you see from, I think, Drew Estate. I don't know if Drew Estate started it, but they're one of the first ones I remember when they came out with the Muwat, like the baitfish and things like that. They're wrapped in just real simple paper. And for me, I don't really care about the box. It's more about what's inside the box that matters. So there's a joke there, but I'm going to move on. But to see some more boutique style rum and bourbon come out in those smaller bottles, I can almost make those as equatable because it's something where you can really test out that brand and see if you want to invest in in a bottle or in a box or what have you. So a little off topic, but interesting. And I know we're going to keep it off topic because I want to reference something that I did in one of our previous shows with the Firestone Velvet Merlin and the Velvet Merkin. Both beers actually exist. And so I wasn't a complete idiot. I was an idiot enough to the point where I got it wrong, but I wasn't a complete idiot. The Velvet Merlin, available in 6-packs and the larger bottles, comes out every year. The vintage is the Velvet Merkin. So you're going to get the Velvet Merkin 2013, 2014 example. It's not available in a 6-pack, and it's in the larger bottles. And that's an oatmeal stout, both sides. So just wanted to cover that since it was brought to my attention that I was right and wrong at the same time.
Well, you know what? I look at it as you were vindicated because you knew what you were talking about. You just had the wrong beer, but it was the right company. So, you know, you're familiar.
I knew what I was talking about, but I didn't know what I was talking about. So it's close enough. So anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some rogue beers.
So, well, before we get into the rogue beer, let's talk a little bit about what we're smoking today. Because it's not often we line up for cigars, but I think we're both, when we're talking before the show, what we're going to pair with the rogue. I think what's funny is that this is one of those cigars we both sort of identified it right away as this is kind of the ideal pairing in our minds for the rogue beer. And a company that doesn't necessarily get a lot of industry hype, perhaps, as it should, a stick that I like a lot, A.J. Fernandez San Latano. I have a lot of the Maduros. Today we're smoking the Oval. I'm a huge fan of the Oval. Let me just move my finger there. It's a Habano 2000 wrapper. It's got a Nicaragua binder. It's got Nicaragua, Honduran filler, and then some sort of secret Fernandez filler that they haven't disclosed. But it's good. It's kind of a nice, medium-bodied, slightly peppery stick, and that's exactly where my head was when we were talking about rogue beers before the show.
Yeah, I don't get around to San Latano enough, and this was something I think we've addressed, and something I want to address in this show moving forward is, you know, we try to pair some of these beers that, I mean, Rogue Brewery is pretty well known. People can have access to these things. I mean, some of the stuff we're going to do, I know we've got a Japanese whiskey show coming up where it might be, that's a little bit more difficult to get your hands on. But I want to focus on some cigars. Like a couple weeks ago I did with My Father Le Bijou. Great cigar that might get overlooked sometimes, especially on Cigar Federation when we get a little bit boutique-centric. But the San Latano from A.J. Fernandez, the Oval, I love this shape. They've actually released, I've picked up some samplers that I don't know if they were from like a cigar bit or something like that, where it was a bunch of different A.J. Fernandez online-specific blends, like CI-specific blends, like your Man of Wars and your things like that, where they were all in the oval size as well. I really, really like this shape. It's very comfortable to smoke. I don't know how this blend differs from like the A.J. Fernandez Habano or the Maduro. I mean, obviously, it differs from the Connecticut because it doesn't have a Connecticut wrapper, but I mean, for all I know, this could be the exact same blend as the Habano. I'm not really sure. But there's something about this particular cigar, the blend, the size, everything about this cigar. It's nice and rich. Like you said, it's a little bit peppery on the retrohale, a little bit of pepper on the tongue, which you get towards the middle. Not too sweet, not too earthy. It's just, I mean, I hate to say that it's just right because that sounds lame, but there's a nice richness to it. And I feel like with Rogue Brewery, at least for me, I tried to focus on some of the beers that were more accessible. They've got some, you know, all the way from double chocolate stouts to lemon chiffon. I mean, you can get weird. And I know you've got one of the weird ones that you're going to be talking about. So wanted to get a cigar that I feel like could pair with many different things. And I feel like this sits right in the middle of that gamut where it's got enough richness, enough body, enough strength, enough pepper, to really stand up to just about anything you throw at it. So I'm curious to see. I've already started, but I'm curious to see how this matches up with some of these beers.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think with a lot of their flavor profile with the Oval, it has characteristics, but it doesn't overpower those characteristics. So like you said, it's got a little bit of sweetness, but not too much. And what we're looking for, and I think maybe the best word here is balanced. It's a very balanced cigar. And we always struggle when we're pairing a few different beers because you are dealing with a lot of different flavor profiles. It's not always going to pair, and we've certainly discovered this in previous shows, it's not always going to pair best with all the beers. But I think this cigar, like we said before the show, really was in our headspace for this particular rogue pairing because there is a lot of different rogues out there. I mean, they have a huge selection of beers, but I think it's going to just be perfect for today's show, and maybe we'll talk about our first beer here, which we lined up on beers and we lined up on cigars a little bit. So this is the Santa's Private Reserve Ale. I'm not going to be able to demonstrate today, but I guess the snowflakes on that actually glow in the dark or sparkle in the dark.
Yeah,
so
really.
Work for sure. Yeah, so they say. One of the things I think is really cool about Rogue is if you look on, let's see if I can do this as a hand model. If you look at the back of the bottle here, you'll see they've got a ton of notes, so it includes all the ingredients of the beer. The key thing here is you look here, and you look here, and doing this in reverse, it's got pairing selections, pork and beef, right in the bottle. That's, to me, that's kind of, you know, they don't need to do that. They're selling beer, but going the extra mile, and when you go to their website, I mean, we'll talk a little bit more as we go on the show here about Rogue as a company, but I tell you what, for doing a pairing show, these guys make our job pretty easy. They not only have the tasting notes, they talk about what the actual flavor profile of the beer is. So they say it's a double hopped red ale. Certainly we're talking a little bit about how it's got a very IPA style too, but not too IPA. Reddish in color, a roasty malty flavor, a spruce finish, which I'm definitely getting. It's got 12 ingredients, which they actually list, and I'll just blow through those because for most of our audience it's probably going to be quite boring, but Turo, a Munich, C15, C40, C75, Rogue Farms Dare, Risk Malts, Rogue Farms Newport, Rebel, Freedom Hops, Free Range Coastal Water, and Pac-Man Yeast. It does, you were talking about the value of the beer. Of course, we've got the 22-ounce bottle today, but apparently they do come in 6-pack 12-ounce bottles, which I have not seen at my local stores. I think I need to get my hands on some of those because they're a little bit more approachable than a big old session beer.
They actually do. The local place I went to, I checked out both of my local spots. You know, BevMo is not really a local spot. They're more of a chain, but Beverages and More. They always have a ton of Rogue, so I knew that that was kind of my backup. I went to Monument Liquors, which I've talked to about before, and I actually learned they've got two different locations, and I haven't checked out their second location. I need to find out where that is. But they didn't have much by way of Rogue. They had a lot of the Rogue Farms stuff, which I think is the I didn't do a lot of research on it, but I think it's all organic and hippie stuff like that, which I'm sure is great. I just wanted to go with some of the regular stuff. I wanted more approachable, like we said, about the cigar as well. But they do have the Santa's Private Reserve Ale, which is the same thing that you've got. That's what I'm drinking, too. That was available in 6-packs. I already had... I actually picked this up, I'll admit it. I picked this up for our seasonal ale show. And when I was picking those beers up, we were doing a seasonal, like a winter ale, winter spiced ale type show that you guys have already seen. Then after that, we did a oatmeal stout. And for some reason, I went and I bought a bunch of winter stouts, but only two oatmeal stouts. I don't know why I did that. But anyway, so I had this one left over. Didn't need to pull up a 6-pack. But after tasting it, with the cigar, I think it's something that I would definitely be interested in picking up a 6-pack of and sipping on it as Christmas rolls around. We do, I think I get to do 3 Christmases this year, so plenty of beer drinking is going to happen. So I might I might end up with one of those 6-packs. Who knows?
Yeah, I think before we get too far into it, I think right off the start, this is an absolutely perfect pairing. an IPA that isn't too hoppy is going to pair perfectly with the San Latano Oval. They complement each other very, very well. Again, because the San Latano is balanced, I think this winter ale, the reserve ale, is also very balanced. I'm going to nerd out here a little bit more on some of the characteristics of the beer. Maybe do a refresher for a lot of people out there who have been listening to our past beer shows, some of the terms out there. So this is a 13-degree Plato, 65 IBU, 73.1 AAs, 26.7 degree Lovibond. So what does all that mean?
Just real quick, you're talking about the Santa's Private Reserve?
That's correct.
Now, all those numbers on my bottle are different.
That's weird.
I'm looking at my bottle, and I'll try to show it to you guys. I don't know if you can see it. Well, let me move it to the camera here. But if you look, well, screw it. I'll just read them.
Oh, that's interesting. Mine does.
I've got 15.5 Plato.
Yep.
74 IBU. 76 AA, whatever that is. 36 degrees L. I don't know what that is. And
it's your Lovibond.
Come again?
It's called Lovibond. I'll talk about that in a second.
Indeed. And 5.1 ABV, so alcohol by volume, 5.1%. Those are a little bit different than the numbers that you just read. Were you reading those off your bottle or off the website?
That was off the website. Now that you say it, my bottle has a third set of numbers. So my bottle is 12.5 degrees Plato, 74 IBU, so a little bit more, 76 AAs, 30 degrees Lovibond, and 5.1 ABV. So
yeah, it's the same thing on my bottle too. Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if it changes yearly, and maybe that was last year's. I don't know. We found some interesting. Maybe we'll have to get someone from Rogue to join us and kind of break it down. Yeah. I don't know what most of those numbers mean. The IBU is the number that that I do remember. That's going to be higher, like you said, in an IPA or a beer like this. It's not too IPA, but when we're talking about stouts, that number is going to be a lot lower.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that I have learned.
So I mean, so Plato again is a ratio of fermentable malts to water. So the higher degrees Plato, presumably you're going to have it's more malty. IBU, the technical explanation is an isomerized hop resins in beer. What does that mean? Well, simply put, the higher IBUs, the more hoppy your beer is. AA is apparent attenuation, a measure of difference between original and ending specific gravity after fermentation. Yeah.
What?
What? So in this beer, the Pac-Man yeast that they use, they say it eats a lot of sugar, but it leaves a lot of complex sugar behind. So the sweetness that is left in the beer perhaps is a little bit more refined, a little bit more complex than what you might find in a chocolate stout. All of it, you know, way over our heads, I'm sure, but for a lot of the beer geeks out there, maybe that's right up your alley.
I'm fascinated by this stuff. I'm fascinated by it. This reminds me of when I first got into cigars. And, you know, I'm smoking this, that, the other thing, you know, whatever it is that's new. I'm smoking the Man of Wars and Diesels and things like that. Because that's really what I smoked when I first started. And starting to learn, well, this is a Nicaraguan leaf. This is a, you know, Honduran leaf. This is a Lajero. This is a Seco Viso. Stuff that you start to learn as you go through and you get more involved in cigars. I mean, this is totally foreign to me. But I'm already starting to pick up on a certain amount of things, like the Plato units or Plato degrees or whatever it is, that's going to be lower in a beer like this, like an IPA style beer. It's going to be lower. The IBU is going to be higher. But if you go into a stout, the Plato units are going to be higher and the IBU is going to be lower. That's at least that's the way it's working out in my head. I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah, and the one thing I didn't touch on, which I am remiss at, is the Lovibond. So what is Lovibond? Well, Lovibond was originally used in chemical manufacturing, but it's been adopted by breweries, and it's used primarily to specify the grain color. So a dark roast malt might have a 400-degree Lovibond, which is quite high, but a pale malt might only have 2 or 3 degrees Lovibond. So the beer that we're talking about today, what did we say? It was 30 degrees Lovibond. So what does that mean? Well, as you can see, it's a very reddish ale, so still light, not as dark as the chocolate stout that we're coming up to. So just a quick reminder to all our listeners out there, you're watching live or pre-recorded Sharing Our Pairings Episode 18, Rogue Spotlight or Spotlight on Rogue, depending on whether you're using lower thirds. Thanks very much for our podcast listeners. Thanks very much to our live listeners on CigarFederation.com. You can catch it again on YouTube on our Sharing Our Pairings channels. Please subscribe. We'll probably have a little giveaway. Maybe we'll have a giveaway today. Got to listen to participate. Who knows? We like to keep things fast and loose.
Keep it fresh. Keep it tight.
Keep it tight.
So I'm enjoying this beer. And like you said, it's definitely got that doesn't really translate all that well, but it's got kind of a reddish hue to it. You know, I think this is a good beer for someone who maybe doesn't like a full-blown IPA, but wants something that's got more to it than like a Pilsner. It kind of falls right in the middle. Nice flavors to it. The pairing with the cigar, they contrast nicely for me. The cigar is rich and thick. The beer is much more, the finish is really dry. There's a little bit of citrus on the finish for me.
Yep.
When I'm tasting that, it brings that out. The beer is really smooth, and it's smooth with the cigar at the same time. There's a nice flow of flavor between these two. It might not be the best pairing that I've had. I might not revisit it. I'll revisit the beer for sure because I enjoy the flavors. It's a bit bright. It's brighter than some of the other winter themed, I should say, ales that we've had. It's got a little bit more kick to it. It's not very strong. At 5.1%, it's not going to, you know, blow you out of the water. I mean, I could drink this whole bottle and I'd be fine. I might be talk a little louder, but I'd be okay. the pairing here is really nice, and it really does highlight. I feel like this highlights the cigar, and this is a good cigar, and I'm okay highlighting it. And I'm really happy with the choice of cigar that we made. I think that this pairing is kind of like, you know, it's Christmas. You're hanging out. You're with your buddies. You're smoking a cigar. You're drinking a beer. Maybe watching a bowl game or something, and you're just BSing. This is perfect.
Well, and I think Rob, that you hit the nail on the head when you talked about this being maybe a starter IPA. I kind of think of this as an IPA training with training wheels.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, you can talk about cigars, talk about whiskey. You know, for whiskey, it's getting into the smoky or peaty. For cigars, it's getting into the heavier Maduros. And this is definitely the IPA with training wheels. And like you said, I could see myself putting this in a regular rotation. Of course, it's only available as a seasonal. But I'm definitely going to enjoy that. And I think that's going to take us right into our beer number two, which is a shame because I'm really enjoying this beer.
Well, one thing I will say, though, I don't mean to cut you off, but when you start getting into a lot of these seasonal beers, and we've experienced this a little bit on the show, is they get bigger because it's winter out. You want a bigger, more hearty beer. It's
absolutely
it's got thicker flavors. It's got more alcohol in it. you know, so you can deal with your family, stuff like that. But this is really kind of, it's almost like a summer version of a winter beer. And it's, in a way, it's refreshing in that manner that it's a winter ale, so I can only get it this time of year, but it kind of brightens things up. Like, this would be fun. Tonight I'm actually going, we're taking our neighbors, who unfortunately are moving. I'm really disappointed because they're really cool people. But they're moving on Christmas Eve. They're moving across the country. Wow. So they're not decorating for Christmas or anything. You don't do Christmas tree or anything. And they've got two young girls who are, I think, 10 and 6 or 10 and 7. So we had them come over and help us decorate our Christmas tree. We're taking them out tonight to go look at Christmas lights. There's a neighborhood that's near us. It's like 3 or 4 square miles. It's just everybody decks out, and they really do it really nice. We're going to be walking around. This would be a perfect beer to walk around with. And, yep. You know, kind of, I mean, maybe we're not supposed to do that, but I'm going to do it. But, you know, it'd be fun to walk around, look at the Christmas lights, and kind of hang out. Not too heavy, not too strong. It's not going to knock you on your butt. I don't know. I'm pleased with it. I'm really pleased with this beer.
So what do you? Maybe I'll go into number two because
yeah. Let's move on.
I'm definitely digging the beer, and I think we could do half an hour just on that beer.
I think we could. I think you're right.
We're gonna move on to number two, which is a personal favorite of mine. I didn't even need to go shopping at my local liquor store for this because I have a beer fridge full of these. Rogue Chocolate Stout, probably one of my top three, four stouts. Certainly for chocolate stouts. Maybe top two or three. Right off the bat, you'll notice that, I mean, that is dark. And we've certainly seen that in past stouts. If you nose it, I mean, you just get a nose full of malt, like rich, thick, sweet malt. You don't even need to taste it because that, I mean, it's just an explosion of malt in your nose. And you know you're in for a big, thick stout experience.
I'm going with another favorite of mine. And kind of their standard Rogue Dead Guy. And this comes, you can get this in a big bottle, you can get it in a six pack, you can get it in a big growler, which I've done. I was Death for Christmas one year, or Christmas, for Halloween one year. And I basically just couldn't really think of a costume, so I just painted my face dark and kind of walked around all ominous. And they have a growler that's just almost like a Carlos Rossi wine bottle, where it's just a big jug, you know? And I don't know, there might be a gallon of it in there, I have no idea. But I carried that thing around all night with my costume, because it was fitting, you know, dead guy, I'm death, whatever. And I drank the whole thing, and I was just gassed by the end of the night. But
yeah, I can see that.
Neither here nor there. Great beer. This one, I mean, here in California, they have it at Safeway. I mean, you can pick up a six-pack. It's $10 for a six-pack, which is a bit expensive. But, I mean, six-pack of bottles, I'm a big fan of it. It doesn't have quite as much information about the IBUs and all that other stuff that we've talked about on the bottle. It does have the pairing on here. It looks like it pairs with pork and anything that's spicy. So like a good, oh, actually, all the information is here. Look at that. So it comes in a 22-ounce bottle, which is what I've got, 12-ounce bottles in the six-pack, the growler and the draft, 16% Play-Doh, 40 IBUs. So yeah, it's funny. We talked about this before the show where I thought I should drink the dead guy first, but since we both had the Christmas ale, I went with that. So this is a 16% Play-Doh, which is a little bit higher than the last one, 40 IBUs, which is about half of the last one, 78, what is AA again?
That's the apparent attenuation.
Yeah, 78, which is about the same, and 16% Lovibond. So to me, that all that information, which I don't know a ton of it about, says it's not going to be quite as robust is the feeling that I get. The breakdown here, they've got all the tasting notes in the style of German Maibock. Well, that was capital, M-A-I-B-O-C-K. I don't know what that means. Brewed using our proprietary Pac-Man yeast, which just sounds awesome. Dead Guy Ale's deep honey color, malty aroma, rich hearty flavor, and well-balanced finish. If you look at it here, it's exactly what it is. Malty look. It's got kind of a more golden red than the last one. You can compare the two here. This is the Dead Guy, and this is what we had before, so it's a little bit lighter. This is probably, if you want to talk about an IPA with training wheels, this is even has like a second set maybe of training wheels. But it's just a great beer. I haven't taken a sip of it yet to compare with the cigar, but I'm curious to see how it's going to plan out.
One of the things I definitely welcome our audience to do is check out Rogue's website. It's always nice when we're preparing for a show, or I'm preparing for a show because I over-prepare, to go onto a website and find all information you need, find some really detailed information about the background and history. We haven't really talked about Rogue's history yet. We'll get into that in a little bit. Definitely check out the ingredients. I'm not going to bore you with all the ingredients of the chocolate stout. I will talk a little bit about and we'll actually compare what the website says to the bottle because we saw a little bit of a discrepancy there. So website's got 15 degrees Play-Doh. It only comes in a 22-ounce bottle, 69 IBUs, so similar to the last beer, a little bit lighter, 77 AAs. Now, the Lovibond in this is huge, 135.45 degrees.
Wow.
Lovibond. So, and I think, you know, that was definitely reflected when you look at this. I mean, this is, it's dark, right?
Yeah. So good.
And it's so good. And I mean, I don't even need really to review this beer because I know this beer. I drink it all the time. It's a good beer with the San Latino oval, although the beer itself doesn't necessarily have a lot of character next to the beer. I mean, you're getting a lot of that sweet, velvety, creamy chocolate finish. There's not a lot of, even though it's 69 IBUs, I'm not actually getting a lot of hoppiness off of it. I think the chocolate maybe runs that over a little bit, but it pairs nicely. I mean, the chocolate and the maltiness offsets the pepper off the San Latino really nicely, and, you know, I drink this and smoke this all day long.
I had one of those chocolate stouts, the Rogue chocolate stout, and I got a little bit greedy and I drank it the other day, and it is.
Can't blame you.
It's great. I just love chocolate stout. I get a big grin when I start talking about it. My cheeks get all puffy. I'm talking about chocolate stout. I love it. But to get back to the Dead Guy, very different from what you're dealing with. It definitely lighter than the Santa's Private Reserve. With the Santa's Private Reserve really held up better as a pairing here. With the Dead Guy, I'm getting that bright finish. It really does mellow out. There's not a ton of spice in the San Latino because this one I think has got probably 2 or 3 years on it. I bought a box when they first came out, or I bought a 10-pack or something to that effect. And this was one of the 2 or 3 that I have left from that when they first came out. So whatever year that was, I think it was 2012, but I could be wrong. I haven't looked. So it's got a few years on it. It's mellowed out. It's really, really smooth, really, really nice. It's running right over the beer, though,
yeah.
Which is unfortunate because this Dead Guy is hands down one of my favorite beers to drink at any time of the day. I've had it as a breakfast beer, and for me, breakfast beers happen when I'm camping, I'm fishing, something like that. I'll grab a six-pack of Dead Guy and go fishing all day long. I got no problem with that. But I can, you know, have it after a meal too. It usually stands up to that. It's not really standing up so much to the cigar. The richness of this cigar really is coating my palate, And all that I'm really getting off the beer is kind of a citrusy kind of finish, similar to what I was getting from the Santa's Private Reserve, but not quite as prominent. So in a way, it's fine, but I really like this beer. So if I were gonna, I don't know what I would pair this with, to be honest.
What do you think about maybe something with a Connecticut wrapper, or maybe even going crazy with a Cameroon wrapper? Do you think that might be a
Yeah, you know, we've talked about that with a Cameroon wrapper. I think maybe we should just do a Cameroon wrapper show, because All right. we've mentioned that a few times, and hopefully let's get our hands on some of that some of those Cameroons from the Rocky Patel decades. I know we both tried to win some of those on Instagram. I didn't win them, but
maybe always be weaseling, brothers. Always yeah. be
weaseling. I'm telling you, this is the time of the year for giveaways, by the way. You know, I think maybe a Cameroon might be right. Or maybe a spicy Connecticut, like I know the Nomad Connecticut was one of our top cigars of the year.
I think it was number six.
Yeah, five or like six. That? It was right in there. Or maybe
great cigar.
Or the AKA Solace. It's another nice Connecticut that's got a little bit of a kick to it. Something like that might work a little bit better. I think if you go with like a creamier Connecticut, like oh man, I just had one and I lost it. Anyway, if you go with a Connecticut that's a little bit lighter, a little bit smoother, a little bit creamier, might get run over, but it might pair really well. But I think you're onto something there with those two wrappers might pair a little bit better. It's not a horrible pairing to where I'm spitting it out or I want to put the cigar out or anything. But I mean, for me, I love this beer and I know it stands up better than this. So to have it kind of get run over by the cigar is a little bit of a disappointment for me.
You're watching Sharing Our Pairings, episode 18 on CigarFederation.com, or listening to our podcast, also available on YouTube. Check out our Sharing Our Pairings playlist channel. Please subscribe. If you need to get a hold of us, if you want to sponsor the show, please contact us.
Logan
at Cigar Federation. Please sponsor us. I mean, you guys probably don't realize, but these shows are costing us out of pocket anywhere from $20 to $40 an episode. I like drinking, I like smoking, so I'm happy to do it for our audience. It's a fun show to do, but if you are interested in sponsoring our show, please get in contact with us. All our contact info is on the website. Talking about Rogue, talking about San Latano Oval. Rogue is an interesting company. It's long been one of my favorite beers. They've been around since 1988, which is pretty good. As you said when the show started, they're in Portland, Oregon. They have a ton of information on their website. The website is really, really well done. I can't speak highly enough about it. If you're curious about all this Plato talk, because we're talking about it, they explain it in normal terms for everyone. You can estimate the alcohol by volume using the formula of dividing Plato by 2.5. So they always have the Plato units on the beers. They list kind of the specs if you're curious about that. One of the interesting things I found out about Rogue, which I did not know prior to the show, is that they actually do spirits. They are a distillery as well. So they have a hazelnut spiced rum, a dark rum, two different kinds of gin. They have a Dead Guy whiskey, which I got to tell you, I'm kind of keen to get my hands on a Dead Guy whiskey. I think that might be interesting for one of our whiskey shows. Single malt whiskey. They have a Chipotle spirit, which I don't know what that's about, but it's got Chipotle in the title. I'm keen.
Yeah.
And a single malt vodka. So
yeah, they've got some interesting stuff. They've got a store on their site. You can buy their beer direct. I imagine there's shipping constraints. I'm looking here and just kind of looking through the store, and they've got it's a Take the Rogue Stout Glass Challenge gift pack, where they've got their Shakespeare Oatmeal, which how I missed that, I don't know. Double chocolate stout, the chocolate stout, and then their imperial stout, and they've got two stout glasses. I mean, it's Christmas time. I haven't really bought myself any gifts, which is a lie, but I might buy that and put that in my own stocking.
But you deserve it, brother. You deserve it.
I work hard. So do you. I think you know what? Here, I'll buy one and say it's from you. You buy one, you say it's from me, and we call it good.
All right. There we go.
They've got a Rogue Sriracha Hot Stout beer. Sriracha.
Now, for the audience, yeah, I love sriracha. I'm a huge fan of hot sauce, huge fan of spicy. I love food. I love spicy food. I love everything food related. I desperately try to get my hands on the sriracha. I think the demand for that beer outstripped their availability because none of my local liquor stores, beer stores here, can get their hands on it. Totally sold out.
Well, if you look on the site, you can it's a pre-order, so it might not even be out yet. I honestly don't know. So
maybe that's what the holdup is.
But it's a pre-order. I'm looking. They've got the Voodoo Donut Maple Bacon Ale, which I actually was going to purchase. The Voodoo ones are the ones that come in the Pepto pink bottles.
Yeah.
In my local shop, they had it's a pretzel raspberry chocolate, which is like it's just a little bit too much. And then the lemon chiffon something or other. That's not going to pair well. So they're not cheap. So that was the other thing. I got all three of these for probably the same price as one of those. So I skipped out on those. But if maybe your local spot doesn't have them, I know you can order from them direct. I don't know what the shipping constraints are, depending on what states you're in. But check them out there for sure. They've got and they've actually got like a home brew, like a rogue dead guy home brewing package too, which might be kind of fun. I've never done anything like that, but all kinds of fun, weird stuff to get involved in. But let's you want to jump into our third beer here?
Yeah, we're going to get – so you talked a little bit about the Voodoo. Rogue is sort of one of those companies that has their mainstream beer, the Dead Guy, the Chocolate Stout, all the normal ales and IPAs. But they're also kind of well-known for having these sort of unusual – you talked about the pretzel beer. They have a chiffon beer. I'm going to talk a little bit about a beer. And the universal reaction I've got from everyone who I've talked to about this beer so far is – that is disgusting. I can't believe you're drinking that. But for me, it was very interesting. So I'm just going to jump right in. This is the Beard Beer. You're thinking, okay, Beard Beer, what does that mean? Well, to put it simply, when they were looking for a yeast for this beer, because they use the Pac-Man yeast, that's their famous yeast, they're looking for something different. They could not culture a yeast that sort of was fitting the profile of what they were looking for. It turns out that growing yeast, quite challenging. yeast is very temperamental. So what did they do? Well, they took some hairs from the brewmaster at Rogue and they cultured yeast from his beard because it turns out that his beard has been a perfect growing spot for yeast, presumably for the entire time he's been there. He's got some stuff. And his beard has created this beer. So if that doesn't freak you out, I don't know what will.
I'll be honest, and I'm talking directly to the listeners here, because I know John a little bit. We've spent some time together, we drank together, we got drunk together, and that's when you really get to know somebody, is when you go to Vegas, you spend some time at the bar, and you get to chat a little bit, you're on your feet all day, you learn a lot about a person. And John and I, John lives in Canada, I live in California. And I feel like if John and I were, if we were closer, physically closer, like if you were in California, if I was, near you in Canada, which to say that if I were in Canada doesn't necessarily mean we'd be close because Canada's big. But I think that we would hang out a lot. I think that we would drink a lot. And I think that we'd both be really fat.
Yeah, no question.
I was absolutely stunned when you told me that you got the Beard Beer. Because I'd heard about it, and I said, absolutely no way I'm drinking the Beard Beer. I wouldn't go get weird with the lemon chiffon. You're drinking some dude's beer. Or beard.
Yeah, it's a dude's beard.
So, I was stunned.
Yeah, it's weird, right? And so we'll talk, I'll just go into the specs. They keep this one a little tight to the chest. It's 14 degrees Plato, 25 IBUs, so quite a bit lighter than what we've been drinking. Mm-hmm. Website lists this at 77 AAs. The bottle lists this at 71 AAs. 6 degrees Lovabond, so quite light. I'm going to hold this up. It's light. It's kind of similar to the Dead Guy, although more of a almost an India Pale Ale style. Mm-hmm. Like it's very light. I don't know how to describe that, man. It's got an interesting nose to it.
Have you tasted it yet?
I have not.
Okay, well, let's make sure the camera is on you while you're tasting it.
All right, we're going to go for a minute of silence here. I apologize to our podcast listeners. I'm going to take a little sip of this, see what it's like. Oh, that's interesting, actually.
You didn't turn green.
No, it's very citrusy. It's actually quite good. Not at all what I was expecting. It's very light. There's almost, of course, it's 25 IBU, so there's very little hoppiness to it. I would liken this to, if you've ever tried any beer that has maybe a fruit finish to it, which might be off-putting to some of our listeners, but there's some really refreshing beers out there that have fruit finishes to it. This almost reminds me of a combination of an orange and peach finished beer without being too overpowering. It's interesting. It's actually not what I was expecting at all.
I know I say this every week, and I'll talk so you can take a couple sips of your beer. This is the fun of this show. I mean, when we get into cigar chat, it gets real technical. We're talking very specific about, someone's product, and they're talking to us about it, and it's great because you get a lot of insight that you might not get, just from meeting someone or smoking a cigar yourself. Doing this is a real trial and error type show. And it's a lot of fun for me in the sense that I would never, ever, and I would imagine that, John, you probably wouldn't have sought out a beer to beer.
No way.
I just don't think you would have. You and I are I don't want to say, not conservative, it's not the right term, but I'll open up like a sriracha beer. I'm excited about that. It's weird, but I'm into it. I don't know if I would pair it with a cigar, but I definitely want to try it. But a beer made of someone's beard, I'm not really into it. And I don't think you normally would be into it too, but because of this show, we're kind of pushing our own limits, pushing our own comfort zones a little bit of what we would want to drink. And I think it's just kind of fun. That's fun for me. With my third beer, I didn't push my envelope too far. This is a beer that I had had before, and I will admit that it's a beer that I didn't like. It is the Hazelnut Brown Nectar. Not a big hazelnut fan myself. My wife purchased this beer for me one time. She'll do that occasionally. Sometimes she'll go to Whole Foods and pick something up, and she'll bring home a fun beer for me, and this was one that she brought home. And I took a couple of sips of it, and that was it. I just didn't like it. Now it begs the question, why did I buy it again? I bought it again for two reasons. One, because we're doing a Rogue show, and I was looking for the chocolate stout, and they were out of it. but the other stuff that they had was like IPA-style stuff that was in stock. And I didn't really want to do that. I wanted something that was a little bit darker, a little bit more hefty. And it's not, it's not super dark. It might look like it is, but that's not really transforming. It's more of like a golden brown. It's not a dark brown. It's very similar, in fact, to the color of the Santa's Private Reserve. But I thought, that to me sounds like something, hazelnut brown ale, brown nectar, is going to be something that's going to maybe pair well with a cigar. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I was right. This pairing is really good. The beer is smooth. I'll go through the specs here, not that I know what most of them mean, but 14% Plato, 33 IBUs, 73.6 AA. What was that again? I keep asking that.
That's the apparent attenuation, which is the measure of difference between original and netting specific gravity after fermentation.
Copy that. So it's 73.6 of those. And 36 degrees, not longitude, but whatever the L stands for, 5.6% alcohol. Not going to blow you out of the water, but the pairing here is real nice. It's highlighting the cigar. It's not highlighting the beer by any means, but again, we've talked about this in the past. It really depends on what you want to do. Excuse me, I had a little belch there. for me, sometimes I want to pair something that's going to highlight my cigar. And I feel like a lot of the times when I pair something with rum, I'm pairing like a cigar that's got some sweetness to it, it's got some richness to it. And if I'm pairing that with a rum, maybe a Zaya 12, or if I want to go kind of on a cheaper end, which is like $20 a bottle, or a Florida Conya 12, which also isn't too expensive. Those, I want those to kind of accentuate the flavors I'm getting out of my cigar. Really, let's be honest, when we're pairing something with a cigar, most of the time we want the cigar to stand, to be the center point. As cigar smokers, I mean, that's what we are. I'm looking for something that's going to complement what I'm smoking. And we've gone through the gamut of, that first pairing was Santa's Private Reserve. It didn't complement the cigar in a sense where it elevated the flavors, but the flavors were drastically different enough that I enjoyed it. This really The beer is smooth. That hazelnut flavor is really subtle. It goes really well with the richness of the cigar. It dries off the palate when you're done. You take a puff of the cigar, you take a sip of the beer. It really does pair nicely. And I think of it in the way, like, one of the first pairings that I fell in love with was a Padron 64 Maduro and a Zaya rum. Zaya rum, if you've tried any aged rums, Zaya is on the lower end of the price point. It's a sweeter rum. So it's really, really approachable. Anybody can drink it if you're drinking alcohol. Maybe not like a kid. Kids can't drink it because that's illegal. But anybody can approach that rum because it's not going to blow you away. It's not super complex. It's not super heavy. It's not going to get you hammered, but it's got a nice flavor to it. And you pair those two cigars, it takes that Padron 64, which is a great, great, great cigar, Padron 64 Maduro, and really kind of elevates it a little bit. And I feel like that's kind of the case here, where it takes the San Latano Oval that I'm smoking, which is a really nice cigar, and I'm enjoying it, but really does kind of elevate it a little bit, where maybe I'm not going to like this beer on its own, but paired with the cigar, really nice.
Yeah, I mean, the Padron is a great cigar, but I think we can agree it's no Oliva Milenio. Anyways, moving on.
I imagine most of the people got that joke, and the silence there was nice. I think most of our audience probably got that joke. And not to be that guy, I like the Milenio. I do. I think it's a good cigar. Is it the best Oliva cigar? I don't think so. But I do like it.
We'll probably circle back to that, I think, in our After Dark. But I just thought I'd throw that out there.
It's timely and topical. That's what I love about you.
So this beer is actually, obviously I was kind of hesitant going in. It's weird. It's funky. It's good beer. I would drink it again. I don't think I would pair it with this cigar at all. They do not complement in the slightest. The San Latano Oval, unfortunately, brings out this sort of sourness out of the beer, which is unusual because the beer is very, not citrusy, but it has a fruit quality to it without being sort of an acidic citrus note. Unfortunately, what happens when I smoke the cigar and drink the beer, it becomes very sour. So not a great pairing for me. Would I drink the beer again? Yes. What would I pair with it? Believe it or not, I'd kind of go the opposite of the flip side of the chocolate stout in the San Latino Oval. So I think I would smoke something maybe a little lighter, a little creamier and sweeter to complement the Beard Beer. So maybe a Rocky Patel 92, which I find chocolatey. Padron kind of pairs with anything because, you know, Padron makes killer cigars. Anything peppery, I think, would be the wrong way to go with the Beard Beer. If you're brave enough to try it, you know, let us know what your thoughts are. I can honestly say it's impressed me. As Rob was talking about, the nice thing about the show is we get to move a little bit out of our comfort zone, which is nice, because the trap of enjoying beverages, whether it's soda pop, whether it's bourbon, whether it's whiskey, whether it's beer, whatever you might drink, tea, the challenge is that you kind of get comfortable with your flavor profile and you stick to that. And I think we've certainly discovered in 18 episodes already that the challenge with sticking in that comfort zone is that you're going to miss out on a whole lot of opportunity, whether it's cigars or whether it's beverages, of stuff that you might otherwise enjoy.
Yeah, I tend to get stuck in a rut occasionally with certain things. Maybe there's a restaurant that I like that has one particular meal that I've had, and it's fantastic. And every time I go there, I'm going to order the same thing. Because maybe I don't get to go to that restaurant all that often. I'm going once or twice a year, and I don't want to screw up and order something that I don't like. But I tend to get lucky, though, sometimes. My wife will tell you this, too. If we'll go to a new place, and I'll order something way out of my comfort zone, and it tends to be fantastic. She doesn't have the same luck that I do. And it's pure luck. It has nothing to do with me knowing anything, because I don't. But sometimes I'll get lucky, but I feel like you said, you know, going outside of our comfort zone, and I mean, for me, maybe this hazelnut brown nectar isn't as extreme as the Beard Beer. I mean, even for the show, I like to go out of my comfort zone. But like I said, I had a chance to buy the Voodoo pretzel raspberry chocolate, which kind of actually sounds really good. But I didn't do it, and I had the lemon chiffon, which I think is the newest one. There's more to it, but lemon chiffon was kind of where I stopped. I just don't see that pairing with a cigar, so I avoided it. But I mean, this nectar, this hazelnut brown, I've had it before. I didn't really like it. Like I said, I took a couple sips and chucked it. But with this pairing it with a cigar, it tempers down that hazelnut flavor. And if you know that hazelnut flavor, you're familiar with it. You know, a Frangello alcohol liqueur is going to have that hazelnut flavor to it as well. There's that, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a stinging flavor at the top of that hazelnut note that really kind of gets me the top of the back of my mouth, like near my, in the nasal cavity, kind of where it hits. And it's like, I just don't like that. But this really tempers it out. The flavor of the beer is real smooth. It's a creamy, rich beer. It's a creamy, rich cigar. Creamy. Maybe I wouldn't call the cigar creamy, but I would call it the beer. It's got a creamy, rich texture, rich cigar. They pair really nicely. It's you know, doing this is a lot of fun. I think I would go back of the three that I've paired and go back to the Santa's Private Reserve. It doesn't elevate the cigar the same way that the hazelnut brown. I keep looking down at the bottle because I want to make sure I say it right. The hazelnut brown nectar elevates the cigar a lot. The Santa's Private Reserve, you're really highlighting both in a way that the beer is really good, the cigar is really good, and this combined experience is great.
Well, and I think, you know, not to twist the knife here, the chocolate stout, I mean, come on. The raw chocolate stout, it's so good. That pairing knocks it out of the park for me. The sort of IPA-ish of the stout is really offset by the San Latano. They really do complement each other really, really well. You get that malty, thick sweetness of the stout. It's not too sweet because the pepper comes through the San Latano oval. They really, really complement each other well. This is a great pairing. But again, like you said, with the Santa's Private Reserve, I'm going to get that wrong. Private Reserve. That's a good pairing. I did not think they would go very well together because I was not thinking the IPNS of that would work well. But it is muted a little bit. It's the IPA with training wheels. So would I revisit it? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to drink that Santa's Reserve again when it's available next year. I'll probably pair it again with the San Latino Oval. Maybe I'll go out and get a Mezzo or a 5-pack. Love doing this show. I love pairing beers. I love getting out of the comfort zone. It's a shame the Beard beer wasn't a bit of pairing, but it's kind of exciting to try something that funky and new.
Yeah, I think one thing, you know, we've done a lot of these big beers. We've done the holiday ales. Like I said, they all tend to be heavier, or at least the ones that we track down were all heavier. Except for the Santa's Private Reserve. We've done some stout shows. I think it might be interesting to you do the opposite. Pick a cigar first. Let's pick a, like I think I mentioned this earlier, pick a Connecticut with some teeth to it, maybe a Cameroon wrapper, and try to find some beers that pair with it. Not specific to beer style or, you know, beer brand, just to see how that would work. Because I'm curious, because it's funny when we talk about one that doesn't necessarily work, we tend to go back to that Cameroon wrapper. We go back to that Connecticut wrapper. Maybe those will work a little bit better. I'd be intrigued. One pairing, didn't do this during this show. Did it on Cigar Chat earlier this week. We had CLE cigars with Christian Arroyo and Gabby Arroyo. If you didn't watch that show, go back and watch it. That was a lot of fun. But during that show, I paired the Merrymaker from Sam Adams, which is a gingerbread stout, with the CBT Maduro, which is a triple Maduro. Absolutely fabulous. That is, I went out and I bought two or three more bottles because I can only find the Merrymaker in the big bottles. And it's only like $4.99. It's not expensive. 9% alcohol in that beer, so it's going to get you. I mean, by the end of that show, and John, you were on that show. By the end of that show, I was in a really good mood. I was like, hey, let's keep going, you know. But that's I really enjoyed that pairing. Gingerbread stout with a rich, thick, chocolatey Maduro. That was a lot of fun. So that's something you might want to check out, you know, given that it's this time of year. I don't have any more of the CBT Maduros. I'm going to have to track some more of those down. That's a great, great damn cigar. If you haven't smoked it yet, track that down. And CBT is in Spanish for wrapper, binder, filler. Wrapper, binder, filler, or all Maduro. Anywho.
I don't think we can say it as well as Gabby did. You got to watch the show.
Yeah, there's. I don't think I can say anything as well as Gabby did, but you can watch that show. But anywho, that was a really good pairing. That was one of the ones that I've had, you know, off of the show that I really enjoyed. John, I'm going to put you on the spot because I didn't really bring this up, but since I threw it out there, anything that you've paired recently? I know you've had a hard time smoking, given that it's like 2 degrees up there in Canada. But any pairings out there that you've had that you might want to share that might not be topical with what we're doing?
You know, sadly, I have not had, and this is, you know, you can see I'm bundled up here. This is kind of one of the downsides of wintertime up in Canada is that my smoking opportunities go down, my pairing opportunities go down. Later today, because we're pre-recording, shocker, I'm going to actually be at a HERF. I'm going to have an opportunity to pair probably some bourbon, some whiskey with a few different cigars. I'll probably do some Habano stuff because, you know, nice. up in Canada we can do some Cubans. But I've got a lot of different cigars that I actually brought specifically with the intent of trying some different pairings, see what works. Because at the end of the day, it's really about having fun, trying some stuff. Some stuff's going to work, some stuff isn't going to work. That's just how it is. But as long as you're having fun, you know, our motto for the show really is drink better, drink less. And I think really you want to have something that you enjoy. At the end of the day, the goal is not to get hammered. It's fun to get hammered, but we want you to really enjoy yourself responsibly. And I think, you know, whether that's cigars or whether that's liquor or beer, enjoy it responsibly. Once you get a few beers into you, you're not going to really be tasting much, so you're not going to have the same experience, I don't think.
I think we could all speak to that, but that's for another show. But yeah, no, I'm curious with some of the stuff that you're going to be pairing later. Take some notes and report back when we do our next show. Some things that you've been pairing. I want to start pairing some pipe stuff. You know, smoke some pipe tobaccos and pair some of those with some different things. Maybe that's something we can look at in the future because I know we've both got some of that the Drew Estate pipe tobacco, which is quite tasty. So if we're beer newbies, we're pipe babies.
Infants, absolutely infants at pipes.
Yeah, I mean exactly. So that might be fun. We haven't really planned a show like that yet, but I think doing some pipe stuff might be kind of cool because the flavors there are very different. I mean, if you smoked a cigar, you smoked a pipe. I mean, you open up some pipe tobacco and it's like, wow, it smells like candy. And then when you smoke it, it doesn't quite taste the same. It's not the flavors aren't quite as strong. So I'd be curious to see how some of those pairings would go. Lately, I haven't really paired too much else. That Merrymaker from Sam Adams, which I think is pretty nationally available. Excuse me, in the United States, and actually now in the United States we can get we can have some Cuban cigars now too.
That's right.
Thanks to thanks to POTUS. So we can look at some of that moving forward too. I'd like to get some of that Cuban rum in the country too because. My experience with Havana Club is pretty limited, but it was fun. So yeah, hopefully we can.
And maybe that's a good plug for one of our sister shows, One Embargo. You might want to tune in, because I'm sure that's going to be a big topic of conversation. Is what does that change mean for Americans? What does that change? I think for me personally, because I go down to Cuba all the time, what does that change mean for Cubans, for Cuban nationals, for the country, and for the future? And I'm sure they're going to get into, Seth and Catfish are going to get into that a lot more in One Embargo for sure.
Yeah, that's a whole separate show. They've got Hirochi Rubenia coming up on a show there. And, you know, that may have actually aired by the time this airs, but if you're watching this and you haven't checked out What Embargo, What Embargo...
What Embargo?
What Embargo? What Embargo? No, if you haven't checked them out, that the Hirochi Rubenia show should be a lot of fun. But yeah, no, I'm curious to see you know some of your pairings that you're trying at your HERF coming up. And I know we've got what do we have on tap? We've got another show coming up next week, right?
Yeah, next week we're going to do bourbon 2.0. the last bourbon show we did, we kind of went through, because we were introducing bourbon, we might have gone through it quite quickly. We're going to maybe focus a little bit more on everyman bourbon versus some of the higher-end bourbons. It's going to be an interesting show. We're going to be pairing one of the top cigars for the year. I think it can end up being number 5, the De Crossier El Forte, or El Forte. I always get that wrong. Unbelievable cigar. What's funny about that for our listeners, or for us personally, when we're talking about, we're kind of strategizing, well, what would be the cigar to pair with that bourbon? And I think we both at the same time said, you know what, De Crossier might be just the perfect cigar for a bourbon. And we could be completely wrong, but I think it'll be a fun journey to try out a couple different bourbons, everyman bourbons, with the De Crossier.
Yeah, I know we talked about De Crossier. I know I've got some. I know I've got the Golden Blend. I'm not sure if I've got the Le Forte, and I'm not sure how to say that either. Le Forte sounds about right. But that was, I know we had, you reviewed that cigar. You and I were actually going to tag team that review and do a pair review. I had some draw issues with mine because of the way that I stored it, not the fault of the cigar. But the flavor was there, but I couldn't really get a good draw going. So what I have smoked from De Crossier, really, really good stuff. Santana has such a passion for this industry. Reminds me a lot of Enrique from 1502, which I think we'll probably do a 1502 and rum episode, which I don't know if
absolutely.
We've done that. I don't know if we've done that yet or if we will, because whenever we see Enrique from 1502, he's always got the Flor de Caña, so you know we're going to have to do some of that. That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that show. Like you said, we're going to do some basic bourbons. I've got a few that are a little bit, not far beyond basic, but a little bit on the higher end, but not super high end. So that'll be fun to get into that next week.
So our live audience will be listening to the show, hopefully, Christmas Eve. So happy holidays or Merry Christmas to those who celebrate Christmas. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to do a little bit of an After Dark segment here, talk a little about football and just kind of freewheel as we're getting our buzz on. But we really appreciate you, our listeners. Really appreciate you guys sticking around, listening to 18 episodes. It'll be 19 episodes next week. Please tune in. We've got our regular Cigar Chat episode. Without the listeners, we wouldn't have a show, and we really appreciate that as we wrap up the year. As Rob mentioned, we're going to be doing our year-end show. It's going to be on bourbons, which I think will be a nice cap for the year. Really dedicated to you guys, the listeners.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with this time of year, you know, whatever it is you're celebrating, Christmas, Hanukkah, Festivus, whatever, you know, I mean, celebrate with your family, have fun, celebrate safely. Drink better, drink less. I really like that. I wish I could say that I came up with that, but I didn't. So that's all kudos to the Conscious Canadian on that one. But we really do. I mean, we have a lot of fun. I do a few shows. I do this. I do Cigar Chat. This is the most fun for me because it's so trial and error. There's just a lot of, and I get to drink. And I decided, you know, I started drinking that Merrymaker during Cigar Chat the other day, and by the end of the show, I was just in such a great mood that I'm drinking during every Cigar Chat from now on.
Absolutely.
That's just how it is. It's just a rule moving forward. But, it's all about the listeners, so hopefully you guys are getting something out of it, and, let us know what you think. If, I didn't really run this by John, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. If you want to be on the show, what the hell? I mean, let us know.
Yep.
This is the kind of thing that it doesn't cost anything. You just need to have a laptop and some beers or beer or whatever it is that we're drinking. You want to be a guest on the show? Let us know. And you don't have to work for Rogue Brewery, or you could just be somebody who hangs out on Cigar Federation and just add another voice to the pairings. It'll be a lot of fun.
And if our audience wants to get hold of you, Rob, how are they going to get a hold of you?
Oh, Rob at Cigar Federation via email. You can find me at Robbie Raz on Twitter. I'm on Cigar Federation all the time. Not as much as Matt. Matt Ross is always on Cigar Federation. So if you need to get in touch with me and you can't find me, you can always find Matt there. I guarantee you right now, if I pulled up Cigar Federation, Matt is on. So God bless him. But Rob at Cigar Federation, Robbie Raz on Twitter.
All right, should we wrap it up with a little NFL talk going into Week 17? Last week of the season, I mean, it's, you know, so there's some teams still fighting out for divisional spots, some teams fighting out for the wild card spots. You know, week 17 is never boring. There might be some boring games, but week 17 as a whole isn't boring, so maybe we can just get right at it and wrap the show with some NFL talk. What do you think?
One thing I will say about the NFL is pitchers and catchers report in like 8 weeks.
Is that baseball talk?
Yeah.
Right over my head.
Pitchers and catchers report in the middle of February, so that's what I'm talking about. I'm so off of the NFL right now. My 49ers, I love the team. I support the team. I wear my Niners gear. But when it's to the point where I just get so frustrated that I'm just like yelling and angry and pissed off, it's not worth it for me. So, I mean, at least I'm not a Raider fan. I'll say that, but or a Jets fan.
Hey-o. Or a Jets fan.
It's been a rough year. It's been a rough year in Niners Nation, which I hate. I mean, a Niners Nation, great website. If you go to NinersNation.com, my buddy David Fucillo runs that site. Great site. A lot of fun to go in there and BS with other Niners fans. But there's been a lot to be about.
All right, well, we'll kick it off with the Week 17 Sunday games. There's no Thursday games. I don't know why that is, but No Thursday game for Week 17. So first up, the Who Cares Bowl. The Panthers travel to Atlanta to face the Falcons, who have grossly underperformed this year.
Well, that could still have playoff implications, could
Absolutely.
It not?
Absolutely, I mean, could.
Because we're getting ahead of ourselves because Week 16 is happening like now. I think there's right a game now. Happening right now because we're recording a little bit early. Atlanta could mess around and get into the playoffs. And, you know, for you fantasy players out there who have Julio Jones on your roster and are playing for the championship, you sure as shit hope that he's playing this week. So that could actually mean something.
I'm going to go with the Falcons. Falcons at home, fighting for something that matters. I think there's a pretty good chance the Falcons are going to take that game. I think it might be a high-scoring affair. In the end, I'm going to have to give the edge to the Falcons on that one.
You know what I would love to see? I mean, and I'm going to wax a little bit here, but in baseball, my Giants won the World Series. They were not the best team in baseball this year. They were not the best team in the playoffs this year. But once that team gets in the playoffs, they know how to win. So that's really all that matters. You don't have to be the best team. You just need to know how to win. I would love to see, what is that, the NFC South, right?
What? Wow, I'm on the spot there. I got to know my divisions better than that.
I think it's the NFC South with Atlanta and the Saints, who are both like two or three games under 500 battling for that playoff spot. I would love to see a team get in the playoffs with an under 500 record and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because right now in the NFC South, and you're right, is the NFC South, every single team in the NFC South, it's every single team is below 500. It's almost a repeat of the NFC West a couple years ago.
Exactly. I would love to see a team get in with an under 500 record or 500 and win the whole damn thing.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to be – I can't really root for my Niners anymore. I mean, I can. I do. I root for them. I want them to win. But when it comes to playoff time, I hate the Saints. Or not the Saints. I hate the Seahawks. Like, I just want bad things to happen to them. But I would love to see that team from the NFC South really make a run, whichever team it is, be it the Saints, be it the Falcons. So I'll go with the Falcons. That was a long-winded answer, but sorry.
Whew, that was a big one. I don't know if we have enough time to do a focus on every single pick, but that was a good one.
I'll be quiet from here on out.
All right. Well, Cleveland Browns, who have been up and down all year, I kind of been rooting for them. They got Johnny Football starting, going to Baltimore to face the Ravens. It's a no-brainer game. The Ravens are going to take that one again. You know, we don't know how the playoff spots are going to suss out for Week 17, but Ravens are fighting. It's kind of a three-way tie for first place in the AFC North. I don't think there's going to be any room for any of those teams to make it in a wild card if they can't take the division. So important game for the Ravens. Not so important for the Browns because they're too far back to win. I'm gonna give that one to the Ravens.
I'll agree.
Dallas Cowboys, who have been kind of up and down. I have a soft spot for the Cowboys. I love the Cowboys. Facing the Redskins. It's Cowboys all day long. Cowboys are really, really fighting with the Eagles to keep first place in the NFC East. Cowboys at the time of the recording are one game ahead, so if they can win that game, they can really secure their spot in the playoffs, divisional win. Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree.
The Indianapolis Colts travel to Tennessee to face the Titans. Titans have just been awful. Colts are handily winning their division. The next nearest team at the time of recording is the Texans at 5-0-0. Terrible. You know, there's a potential for the Colts to maybe let up a little bit on the gas because they've cinched a spot. But I don't think the Titans have enough to take the win away from them. I think the Colts are still going to win that game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just to let everybody know, kind of give away when we're recording, it's a Saturday game. The Eagles and the Redskins are playing right now. It's the first quarter. It's 3-0 Redskins.
Okay. The Lions, who have been a surprise this year, facing the Packers. I think that's kind of an interesting game because Packers have really been vulnerable to defensive teams this year. The Lions have been playing, you know, semi-decent ball. Green Bay Packers and the Lions, they're both, at the time of the recording, they're tied for first place in the division, so this is a really, really important game for Week 17. You know, I want to say Rodgers is going to pull this out, but I don't think they're gonna make it this year. I think the Lions are going to beat the Packers. It's going to be a big upset.
Really? I'm looking at the Week 16 schedule, and they both kind of have cream puffs.
Yep.
The Packers have the Bucks. And the Lions are at the Bears. So I would imagine that they're both going to win those games. And that game, where is that game at?
That game is in Green Bay.
Really? So you're not with Detroit in Green Bay?
Mm-hmm. Big upset.
Ballsy, man. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'll probably go Green Bay.
All right. Jacksonville Jaguars. Poor Jaguar fans out there. Houston Texans in the game that doesn't matter at all. Neither team can make the playoffs. Neither team can make a wild card. They both are terrible. Really, I think it's a pride game. At the time of the recording, the Jags are 3-12. Texans are 7-7. It's going to be the Texans, and no one's going to care.
Yeah, Texans can probably win that game on defense alone.
Another smash-mouth football game. San Diego Chargers travel to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. Oh. What's interesting about this is that there's a potential. Not much of one, but there's a potential for Kansas City or San Diego to just sneak into a wild card spot, potentially on how Week 16 plays out. Honestly, too close to call. If it was in San Diego, I might go with the Chargers in this one. I'm actually going to go with the Chiefs. I know that makes me a crazy person, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs on this one.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, they can, you know, whatever. I mean, it's tough. It's tough calling games. It's tough calling games a week out. I think the Chargers and the Niners, that's this week. They'll probably beat my 49ers because the Niners just can't score. It's in Kansas City. That's a tough place to play this time of year. Yeah, I got to go Chiefs on that. I think I agree with you.
My poor, poor, sad, depressing Jets, who are going to lose their entire front office at the end of Week 17, probably the day after that weekend, that Monday, you're going to see a round of firing. They travel to Miami. I hate the Dolphins. Sorry, Dolphins fans. I hate your team. I hate your quarterback. I hate your coach. I hate everything about you. The divisional hate is huge, and sadly, the Dolphins are probably going to end up embarrassing the Jets in that game.
Yeah, you might be onto something. I'm going to talk about something a little more interesting. Look at the burn on that cigar. Perfect.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's a perfect burn. I mean, we don't talk a lot about San Latano, but this Oval, it's a really good cigar, man.
Such a good cigar.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, it sounds like a Dolphins win.
Chicago Bears, some drama at quarterback position as Cutler's being benched in Week 16. Maybe getting traded, some rumors there. Go to Minnesota to face the Vikings. It's strange to see the Bears in the position they're in. Vikings are beating them, but not by much. Again, the game doesn't matter. Neither team has a hope or prayer to make the playoffs. But I think it's just going to be one more nail in the coffin of Cutler and the Bears. They're going to lose that game.
You know, I saw something on Facebook the other day that Cutler was released. I don't know if that was real or not, because you see a lot of fake stuff on Facebook, like, you know, Morgan Freeman died earlier this year or whatever it was. I mean, all kinds of hoaxes. I don't know why people do that. It's just a waste of time. But, I mean, yeah, Cutler is done. in Chicago. Tressman, I think he's already been fired. If he hasn't, he's on his way. They're a cluster up there, but they're a cluster in Minnesota too. This is the Cluster Bowl. Moving on, I don't care.
Fair enough. The Buffalo Bills go to New England to face the Patriots. I mean, what's interesting about this is a week 17 game, but Bill Belichick rarely lets up the gas, lets up the throttle. The only chance of anyone sitting in this game is if the Patriots take an early lead. The Bills have a chance to maybe embarrass the Patriots right in week 17. You know, the Patriots at week 16 are kind of sitting as the number one team in the league. I don't think the Bills are going to beat the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to take an early lead, and then you know, they're going to sit Brady and probably a lot of their starters for their first round bye, and that's that.
I think I just burned my beanie.
Ouch.
Because I'm an idiot. We got ash everywhere. Yeah, I think the Patriots, as much as I hate to say it, they're going to be in the Super Bowl again, and probably going to be playing against the Packers. So nothing new there.
Philadelphia Sanchez Eagles go to New York to face the Giants. Giants have been terrible this year. The Eagles have been a surprise team. You know, I talked a little bit about this earlier. The Eagles are fighting for a wild card or potentially divisional lead. The NFC is really a tight division, with the Seahawks fighting for a playoff spot, the Packers fighting for a playoff spot, the Eagles. So I think there's a lot on the line here. The Giants are terrible. I think the Eagles are going to win this game, and I think everyone's going to be singing the praises of Sanchez, who only a year ago, you know, they're making fun of him.
That's funny, man. It's funny how it works. I mean, anybody could have had Sanchez for, like, a couple of practice footballs and some Sharpies. Like, that was all they needed to sign this guy. And now he's winning football games, so... It's the same thing happens in baseball. I mean, you look at guys like David Ortiz. He was playing for the Montreal Expos back when they existed, and nobody gave a shit about him, and they released him, and the Red Sox picked him up off of waivers for free, and now he's like they've won rings with him. It's just you just never know. But yeah, I would go Eagles in that one as well.
One of the interesting divisional matchups in Week 17, again, we talk about playoff implications. The Steelers and the Ravens, the Bengals and the Steelers. Bengals currently in Week 16 sitting at the top of their division, so this is a really, really important game. Unfortunately, the Bengals have to go to Pittsburgh to play this game, and I think this might be my big upset of the week. Normally, I would go with the Bengals, but they play really, really poorly in Pittsburgh, especially with the Steelers just really fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot. I think the Steelers might take this one.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something that has a feeling of a trap game to it.
Classic trap.
Yeah, and that's one of those matchups that, you know, I mean, if you don't live in that region, you probably don't care about it as much. But it's that smash-mouth football where you feel like it's just going to be, you know, 2 or 3 yards per play, and then it ends up being 48 to 42. But... Yep. I think you may be onto something there with Pittsburgh.
New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, the Saints again below .50, so they really need to win the game to take the division if they have a chance. You know, Tampa is just not good. I mean, I don't need to really expand on that. They're just not good. 2-12 in Week 16, just terrible. Yeah, Saints have to win this game, and I think they're going to win this game.
Yeah, I would agree. Easy. Move on.
A game that's probably going to be listed for both the record for scoring and possibly the number of people assaulted at a stadium. Oakland travels to Denver to face the Broncos. Raiders are going to get absolutely embarrassed again, and I really hope that nobody gets stabbed, shot, or beaten at this, but I know it's going to happen because it just always happens with a game like this. Broncos, no-brainer.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Let's move on. Broncos, yeah. I can't talk about the Raiders.
Arizona Cardinals going to San Francisco to face the 49ers.
Woo, doggy!
That's a big game with Arizona somehow still maintaining top of the NFC West. 49ers, sadly, do not have a chance at a playoff spot. They're just so far back. but that makes a team dangerous. You know, they have a chance to upset or maybe beat up, break down a team before they get to the playoffs. I don't know what to make of this game. I think it might be an interesting game. I think the Cardinals will probably take it, but I would not give up on the 49ers in that game.
That feels like a trap game, too, in a sense mm-hmm. that the Niners could win it. I mean, the 49ers have just been so awful. And I know it sounds spoiled because I think, what are they, 7-7 or something?
Yeah.
It's just they had so much talent, and nobody's – I just – the defense is great. They have a really good defense, and it's going to be even better next year. The offense is the drizzling shits, and I just don't understand how – and they have one drive in them per game.
Yep.
And you can watch it, and it's always early. They'll score like a hot knife through butter, and it's a touchdown to Anquan Boldin or something. And I'll always look at my wife and say, that's it. They're not going to score again.
That's all they got.
I don't understand how they got 90 yards in three plays, but they can't do it again. So, anyway, I'm not bitter. but like I said, pitchers and catchers report in a few months, so we're good to go. But
there you go.
No, I mean, yeah, who knows, man? I mean, the Niners could mess around and beat the Chargers tonight, and they could beat the Cardinals tomorrow. And then we're stuck, sit and think, wow, what if you guys did this earlier in the year? They're probably going to score like 40 points in both games.
Last but not least, the final interesting game of the season, the Rams travel to Seattle to face the Seahawks. Seahawks Ooh. Still fighting for a playoff spot. The Rams, who have won some big games, have a chance to maybe upset the Seahawks, and I think that might be interesting because I think, you know, the Rams aren't going to give up. I honestly don't know what to make of this game. I mean, we've talked about a few trap games. I think this might be a real trap game because the Seahawks have to win this game to have a shot at the playoffs. It's honestly too close to call. I know I have to make a decision and put myself on the line here, but I don't know what to make of this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams are a bit of Jekyll and Hyde. You know, mm-hmm. they can go out and beat the Raiders 42-0 or whatever the hell it was, and then the next week they play the Cardinals and it's 12-6. I mean, God, what a boring game that must have been. But I just don't know what to make of that team. I think that they've got a bright future. I think they've got some interesting talent, both on offense and defense, and they've done all this without their real quarterback. I would love to see the Rams go up there and win on a last-second touchdown where whoever the hell the Rams wide receivers are, because I don't know who they are, Stedman Bailey, I think, is one of them, or somebody like that, and have him burn what's-his-face for a touchdown. I really hate that guy, their DB. And whenever we do the show, I always forget, and then there's a big thread on SigFed about who the guy is, and then it pisses a bunch of people off. I would love to see I wouldn't love to see the Niners lose, but I would love to see the Seahawks not make the playoffs. That would make the Niners being total dog shit for a full year palatable.
All right, well, I'm going to go with the Rams just to put myself in the line.
Just to make a pick. I've been a little bit verbose today. I apologize. So we've gone good. Probably like a half hour long, I think.
Well, again, we appreciate our podcast listeners, appreciate our live listeners. Please tune in for our Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve episode for Bourbon. Again, if you're out having fun and maybe have better things to do to listen to our show, we're not going to be offended. You can catch our show again on YouTube or on podcast. It's going to be our Bourbon show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun when we pair the Crossier.
Yeah, that show is going to be fun, and I want all our audience to know that we don't take holidays off. No, we're recording, this is New Year's Eve, or this is a Christmas Eve show that we're recording a week early, and then the New Year's Eve show that we're also going to record a week early. We don't take holidays off.
No.
No, but that's going to be a fun show. De Crossier Cigars, if you haven't checked them out, I mean, we're going to talk about them a lot during that show because that's what we're smoking. Really, really elegant cigars in the way that their profiles are blended and the presentation, the box presentation is fantastic. Hopefully we can... at some point, get Santana on here to do a show with us. That'd be a lot of fun. But, that'll be a good show. Everybody have a great holiday, whatever it is you're celebrating. Celebrate it with your family. Enjoy it. life's short, so you know, enjoy those moments when you got them. But right. Really do appreciate it.
Drink better, drink less.